أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإسماعيل وإدريس وذا الكفل كل من الصابرين. وأدخلناهم في رحمتنا إنهم من الصالحين. After relating us, relating to us the story of Ayyub alayhi salam, the illness that he had suffered from, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had cured him after he had made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah now speaks of three other anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Ayah number 85 of Surah Anbiya, Allah says, wa Ismail. We know and we are quite familiar with the life of Ismail alayhi salam. And very often we hear of the life of Ismail alayhi salam. And as we approach the month of Dhul Hijjah and we enter a new season of worship and we come closer to Qurbani, we are again reminded of the life of Ismail alayhi salam, the son of Ibrahim. Wa Idris. Idris alayhi salam, he was one of the very first prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the third prophet who came to this world. So you had Adam alayhi salam, followed by his son Shis alayhi salam, and then thereafter you had Idris alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Surah Maryam, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, that we raised him to a high, lofty position. Idris alayhi salam also experienced ascension, similar to the ascension experienced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But of course, he did not experience ascension to the point where he stepped before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he conversed before Allah azza wa jal. But he did experience ascension to a certain stage and to a certain level. He experienced ascension up to the fourth heaven. And in the fourth heaven, his ruh was drawn. So Idris alayhi salam, something unique about him, that his ruh and his life was taken while he was in the fourth heaven. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for al-mi'raj, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Idris alayhi salam on the fourth heaven. And that is what it meant when Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, we elevated him, referring to the physical ascension of Idris alayhi salam to the fourth heaven where his ruh was extracted from his body. Then Allah speaks of Dhul-Kif. Right now, Dhul-Kif, we hear the name Dhul-Kif, but we do not know much about this righteous servant of Allah. Firstly, there is a debate amongst the scholars as to whether he was a Nabi or he was not a Nabi. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he maintained the view that Dhul-Kif was a Nabi of Allah. He was a prophet. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned him and listed him amongst the prophets. Allah says, wa Ismail, wa Idris, wa Dhul-Kif. However, others maintain the view that Dhul-Kif was not a Nabi. He was a very pious, righteous, saint personality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was not a Nabi of Allah. There's a rather strange story about Dhul-Kif that is found in the books of Tafsir. It is said that he lived during the life of Al-Yasa'. Now Al-Yasa' alayhi salam, also mentioned in the Quran, but we do not know much about this Nabi. Al-Yasa' alayhi salam was a Nabi, and as he realized that his time in this world was coming to an end, he decided to appoint a deputy who will guide the people and guide the community after him. So he announced amongst the community and amongst the people that he is looking for such a deputy who spends the entire year fasting, who spends every night in prayer, and who never loses his temper. These were the three conditions that must be met by the deputy. An ordinary man, who wasn't really popular or known in the society, known in the community, and he said that I am the person who has fulfilled or who does fulfill these three conditions. And because he was not a person of status, or perhaps he was not a known person in the community, Idris or Aliyasa alayhi salam, did not really pay much attention to this person. And then for a second time, Aliyasa made this announcement and he asked people to come forward. And again, the same person stood up. And then Aliyasa alayhi salam decided to appoint this man as the deputy. And who was he? He was Abdul Kif. He was Abdul Kif alayhi salam. So that was his position, and that was the level of his piety, that was the level of his righteousness, that he had devoted his entire day and night to the worship of Allah, and also he possessed the quality of not losing his temper. Now, Shaytan, he decided to try and make Dhul Kifl falter, so that he can be removed from the position of deputy. So he asked his aid, and the devil, the shaitan, asked his supporters to deviate and to cause Dhul Kifl to go astray. So none of them were prepared to do that, and they said, Dhul Kifl is beyond us. He is such a righteous, pious servant of Allah that we are unable to influence him. So shaitan, the devil, said, I will take it upon myself to influence him, to misguide him, and to cause him to slip up and to err, so that Aliyasa will remove him from that lofty position to which he was appointed. So he decided to approach him during his siesta afternoon nap. Dhul Kifl would spend his day fasting, so one in his fasting, and then he would meet with the people and with the community at a certain appointed time. He would sit in his court in the morning and towards the evening, and people would come to him for advice and present the cases to him, and he would resolve disputes, and he would adjudicate, and he would mediate between people. And there was a period during the day when he would take his nap. Now that nap was very, very important. It was very significant. It was a very vital time and period for Dhul Kifl, because he hardly slept at night. So the devil came to him in the form of an old man at that time. When he was about to take his afternoon nap, the devil came up to him and said, listen, I'm an old man, tortured and oppressed by my people, and I would like to present my case to you. So Dhul Kifl heard him, and Dhul Kifl said, okay, come to me, see me once I sit in my court. Later today, when I sit in my court, come and see me, present your case to me, and I will attend to it. But he kept on prolonging the discussion until he used up all the time for which Dhul Kifl would spend in sleep. So Dhul Kifl missed out his sleep for that day. And when he went to the court, that old man, of course he was the devil, he did not come to him. So Dhul Kifl waited for him the next morning also in the court. The man still did not come to him. Again, the second day, Dhul Kifl is about to take his afternoon nap. Here this old man comes knocking at the door. And Dhul Kifl said, but the day before I told you, come and see me in the court. He said, you know what, my people and my community who oppressed me and who have tortured me and who have robbed me of my rights, they, when they heard that I had come to you seeking assistance, they prevented me from coming to you at the court so that you could not pass a judgment in my favor. And again, he kept on prolonging the discussion and he used up all that time. So Dhul Kifl, for the next day, 2 days have passed now, and now there is a great lack of sleep. He's suffering from lack of sleep. And we know what happens to a person when he suffers from a lack of sleep, how sensitive he becomes, how emotional he becomes, how moody a person gets when there isn't any sleep. And here he's not sleeping at night as well. He goes back in the afternoon, the old man does not come. The next morning, the old man still does not come to the court to come and present his case. The third day, when Dhul Kifl is about to take his nap, he tells the family members that do not allow anyone to knock at this door of mine. I really need to have my sleep this afternoon. So he goes to sleep. The old man comes again, knocking at the door. The family members prevent him. Of course, they think he's a human being, but he's the devil, he's the shaitan. He makes his way into the home through a ventilator, and he comes into the room of Dhul Kifl, knocking and banging at the door of Dhul Kifl. When Dhul Kifl came out and he saw the old man, Dhul Kifl realized that this is indeed shaitan, that is the devil. And then he said to him, are you the devil? Are you the accursed devil of Allah? And Shaitan then confessed and acknowledged him. He said, I tried everything to try and persuade you and influence you, but I have failed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave him this title, Dhul-Kifl. This was his title, it was not his name. Dhul-Kifl means actually the one who fulfilled the covenant. The one who fulfilled the covenant, the fulfiller of the covenant, and the one who had carried out the duties that were assigned to him. So, with regard to him being a Nabi or not, that is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but some maintain the view that he was a very righteous saint and servant of Allah. He remained the deputy of Al-Yasa alayhi salam, and it is possible that perhaps at a later stage in his life, because of his righteousness and piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with nubuwa and with prophethood. Kullu min as-sabirin. Allah says about all of them that every one of them were from amongst the patients. And we can see the patience and the tolerance in the life of the Kif alone. وَأَدَخَلْنَاهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, we had admitted them all into our mercy. إِنَّهُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Indeed, every one of them was from among the righteous ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand.